Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the May 13th, 2020 meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. CJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this telephonic meeting.
Good morning. This is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for the Board of Commissioners and specific Rhode Island Housing staff, all callers will be muted during this. During the meeting, if anyone is having technical difficulties with their audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. And if everyone could mute their phones at home, that would help the background noise. Thank you.
Thank you, CJ. This is Carol Ventura. Nicole Clement, General Counsel for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this telephonic meeting.
Thank you, Carol. Good morning, everyone. My name is Nicole Clement. Pursuant to Executive Orders 20-05 and 20-25, as may be amended, this meeting is being held via teleconference. Members of the public can visit the Rhode Island Housing website to view the agenda and information on the actions being taken. In the event this teleconference is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until we can reconnect and audio is restored. I would now like to provide some guidance to our Board of Commissioners that are in attendance and staff as they participate in this meeting. Chairman Redzinas will preside, and any commissioner or staff member speaking during this meeting should state their name prior to speaking. I will now turn it over to Chairman Redzinas to call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Nicole, and good morning to each and every one of you. Let me call to order this meeting, this May meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. And Carol, why don't you begin by conducting a roll call of both the commissioners and senior management.
Thank you, Chairman Nick Retsinas. Chairman Nicholas Retsinas.
Here.
Commissioner Kevin Orth.
Here.
Commissioner Brett Smiley.
Here.
Commissioner Liz Tanner.
Here.
Commissioner Seth Magaziner.
Leanne Byrne is on the call as Treasurer Magaziner's designee.
Commissioner Steve McAllister.
Here.
Commissioner Maria Barry.
Here.
And staff for Rhode Island Housing, James Comer.
Here.
Lisa Primiano.
Here.
Cara LaChapelle.
Here.
Bernadette McArthur.
Here.
Leslie McKnight.
Here.
Peter Pagonis.
Here.
Eric Shorter.
Here.
Christine Hunsinger.
Here.
Nicole Clement.
Here.
Steve Richard.
Here.
Chairman, the roll call is complete.
Thank you very much. First item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of our last board meeting on April 2nd, 2020. Have you all had a chance to review those minutes? And if so, is there a motion to approve?
Brett Smiley, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Steve McAllister.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Nicole, could you take the roll call vote?
Thank you, Chairman. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the minutes of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners meeting held on April 2nd, 2020, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Redzinas.
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner.
Kathy Stewart.
Commissioner Tanner.
Aye.
Commissioner Orr.
Good morning.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne. Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you all for finding time from your busy schedules to join us. Let me turn the meeting over to our Executive Director, Carol Ventura, to present her report. Carol?
Thank you, Chairman. I want to first provide an update on the operations of the agency. Currently, of our 228 employees, 170 are working in the building or remotely. The majority of folks are working from home. 58 staff have been furloughed, and we are providing health care coverage for our furloughed staff through the end of June. The executive team has been working to develop a transition plan by which staff working remotely will slowly begin to come back into the office. Excuse me. This will be a careful and deliberate process. We intend to have many staff continue to work remotely until we can successfully and safely bring staff back into the office in accordance with the governor's guidance and CDC best practices. In our homeownership and loan servicing areas, as expected, monthly loan production and reservations in April are down year over year. On a positive note, year-to-date 2020, our annual production overall has exceeded production in 2019. Not surprisingly, and as reported by Leslie McKnight at our committee meetings, our overall single-family portfolio delinquency is increasing. We are now experiencing a double-digit delinquency rate, and we are almost 4% higher than this time in 2019. It is very likely that delinquencies will increase. Our loan servicing area has been fielding thousands of calls from borrowers inquiring about forbearance assistance, and currently more than 1,000 Rhode Island Housing borrowers have active forbearance agreements as of April 30th. In the development area, the group has recently closed four transactions, resulting in the preservation of 372 affordable apartments and also the new construction of eight new apartments. Although many businesses have closed during the crisis, construction has continued, and our owners are delivering units on schedule. In our leased housing division, the board will recall that the trustees of the Affordable Housing Trust approved $400,000 in grant funding to assist Rhode Island households experiencing a short-term emergency housing crisis. We selected six nonprofit organizations to deploy the resources on behalf of the agency, and to date, 31 applications for assistance have been received. In my report, you'll notice that the Asset Management Group has provided a grid outlining the number of confirmed COVID cases at our multifamily developments. As noted in the grid, 25 developments have 39 confirmed COVID cases. I'm pleased to report, though, that in spite of the economic challenges in Rhode Island, we are not experiencing any multifamily delinquency. Mike DiCaro and the Asset Management Group have been monitoring the operations of our developments and will work with owners in the event they're experiencing operating challenges. But again, we haven't seen that happening on the multifamily side. I would encourage the board to visit our website. The communications team has created a COVID-19 webpage, which provides important information to our partners and customers. We frequently update this page as we receive additional information from the state and federal government. As you know, there is much happening on the federal and state level related to aid bills and deployment of resources. As the board knows, we work closely with the Office of Housing and Community Development and the Commerce Corp around housing programs and policies. But recently, we have been assisting the Department of Administration, the Governor's Office, and BHDDH to explore the use of COVID funds to create permanent supportive housing. Our role has been to assist in identifying potential properties for acquisition and redevelopment and development partners to work with the state in this exciting initiative. Lastly, on page 8 of this report, the Finance Group has presented the quarterly financial statistics for the agency. With that, I will conclude and happy to answer any questions the board has.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we will move on. Let us move on to item number 4, approval of external charitable donations and contributions. Carol?
Thank you, Chairman. This is Carol Ventura. This action is for approval and ratification of recent charitable contributions made by Rhode Island Housing to partner agencies. The chart at Attachment A summarizes these donations and contributions, which include the Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce. Staff will attend the organization's statewide business networking event. The Institute for Real Estate Managers, I was scheduled to attend the March meeting to discuss priorities for the agency in the upcoming fiscal year, and the Sojourner House annual breakfast, which will be conducted virtually. The Chamber and IREM events have been canceled, and we fully expect that these events to be rescheduled later in the year. Staff recommends approval of these charitable donations and contributions, which total $420.
Thank you. It's my understanding the Management Committee has reviewed this. Brett, do you have any comments?
No, we reviewed and recommend approval.
Thank you. Is there a second?
This is Leanne Byrne, I second the motion.
Thank you. Are there any questions or discussion? Hearing none, let me ask the General Counsel to conduct the roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the external charitable donations and contributions, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rezina.
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you. We now have a series of financing opportunities before us. First one is item number 5, firm approval of financing for Harris House Apartments. Carol?
Thank you, Chairman. This is Carol Ventura. Board actions number 5 and number 6 are preservation transactions and will be presented by Eric Shorter, Director of Real Estate Development.
Thank you, Carol. Good morning, everyone. This is Eric Shorter. Harris House, the sponsor is Cathedral Development Group, based here in Providence. Harris House is an existing 133-unit affordable elderly development in Cranston, Rhode Island. Harris House was built in 1979 and renovated in 2010. The project consists of a 4-story building with 123 one-bedroom and 10 two-bedroom units. Cathedral intends to capitalize a new replacement reserve in the amount of approximately $1.5 million or almost $12,000 per unit, which is sufficient to undertake the full scope of work. As a result of the COVID-19, only the critical needs identified in the CNA, the capital needs assessment, are being done immediately. The total development cost is $17.7 million. Staff recommends firm approval for taxable loan in the amount up to $16.5
million. Great, thank you. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. This is Commissioner Orth.
Commissioner Orth, I understand that the credit committee reviewed this. Could you maybe make your comments?
Certainly, this is Commissioner Orth. First of all, I'd like to recognize staff for their efforts in putting together this preservation loan program as a substitute for the expired Treasury FFB program. It's quite attractive, and it's hard to compete with a HUD 223F loan product. And again, I think this is a great product to have in our arsenal to keep good loans in our portfolio. Also, I'd like to recognize the flexibility and recognizing the COVID-19 pandemic and the effect that has on ability to go into occupied units to renovate, and the flexibility to hold off the funds to do that work when it's appropriate and safe to do so. And committee does recommend approval of this financing.
Thank you. I'll accept that as a motion. Is there a second?
Second, Maria Berry.
Thank you. Are there any questions or any discussion on this motion? Hearing none, let me ask the General Counsel to take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of firm approval of financing for Harris House Apartments, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rezina.
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you. Agenda item number 6 is firm approval of financing for Babcock Village Apartments. Again, Carol.
Thank you, Chairman. Action number 6 will be also presented by Eric Shorter.
Eric Shorter. The sponsor, again, is Cathedral Development Group. Babcock Village's existing 151-unit affordable family development located in Westerly. Babcock was built in 1980 and refinanced in 2010. The project consists of a three-story building consisting of 135 one-bedroom and 16 two-bedroom units. Again, Cathedral was capitalizing a replacement reserve of $1.3 million, $8,600 per unit, which is sufficient to undertake the scope of work. Similar to the previous transaction, they're only completing the capital, the critical needs identified in the CNA now. The total development cost is $18.8 million. Staff recommends firm approval for a taxable loan in amount up to $17.7
million. Thank you. It's my understanding the credit committee has reviewed this proposal.
Yes, Chairman. It did. This is Commissioner Orth. We reviewed this as same development group as the as Harris House. They've owned this property and many others in the state for a couple of decades, I believe, and have shown responsible ownership throughout that period. We do recommend approval of this financing.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Maria Berry.
Thank you, Maria. Are there any comments or any questions? Hearing none, let me ask our general counsel to take the roll.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of firm approval of financing for Babcock Village Apartments, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rodriguez.
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Burns.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's turn our attention to item number 7, Brookside Terrace Phase 2. Carol?
Thank you, Chairman. This is Carol Ventura. We are very pleased to bring forth board actions number 7, 8, and 9, which involve the reservation of low-income housing tax credits and associated financing. The low-income housing tax credit program is the most powerful financing tool we have to create affordable rental housing in Rhode Island. The program is highly competitive, and we are always significantly oversubscribed for this resource. Eric Shorter, Director of Real Estate Development, will present these actions.
Thanks, Carol. Again, Eric Shorter. It is important to note that Rhode Island received a small state minimum for 9% tax credits. This year, that is approximately $3.2 million. However, Rhode Island Housing has approximately $2.6 million in 2020 credits available to reserve for applicants under the current tax credit round. Last year, as part of the 2019 funding round, Rhode Island Housing forward committed $1.8 million of tax credits, reducing the available 2020 tax credit balance. Since then, we rescinded an allocation of $1.2 million for the Hope Mill project, which ultimately resulted in the current 2020 LIHTC balance. In response to the RFP for rental development projects issued in October 2019, 10 applications were received. One application submitted an application for Barbara Jordan. However, since a developer hasn't been selected for that project, we returned that application. So only 9 proposals were reviewed. Of all 9 proposals were new production, no preservation applications were received. So Brookside Terrace was our highest scoring project. The sponsor is Dakota Partners, based out of Massachusetts. The development is the second phase of a two-phase 96-unit affordable housing development on a 17-acre site in East Greenwich. Phase two will consist of 48 units in two three-story garden-style new constructed residential buildings. The proposed buildings will provide a mix of 12 one-bedroom units and 36 two-bedroom units. The development includes passive housing design. The total development cost is $13.2 million. Staff recommends reservation up to $1.2 million in 2020 credits. Preliminary approval of first mortgage up to $1.1 million and a housing trust fund loan and, up to
$720,000. Thank you. Can the credit committee, I believe, has reviewed this?
Yes, it did. This is Kevin Orth. First of all, I'd like to say that all of the applications received were very strong, and the top three scoring projects that are before us today were definitely the strongest, and they're from very capable development teams, and very, very happy to see each of them before us today. Brookside Terrace, in addition to what Eric mentioned, it is in East Greenwich, which I believe is about at 5% affordable right now. So this will definitely help towards its 10% goal. Also, staff did go back to each of these projects and request confirming letters from the tax credit syndicators to make sure that the interest remained and that pricing was similar to what was in the application. I believe that all came back with pricing approximately at or maybe even in one instance slightly better than in their application. Committee does recommend approval of the tax credit reservation and a preliminary approval of financing for Brookside Terrace.
Thank you. I'll accept that as a motion. Is there a second?
Second, Liz Tanner.
Thank you. Any further discussion or any questions?
This is Maria Berry. I plan to recuse myself because Bank of America is providing financing.
Thank you. Nicole, could you call the roll?
Yes. Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the reservation of low-income housing tax credits and preliminary approval of financing for Brookside Terrace Phase 2, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rodriguez.
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner.
Aye.
Commissioner Orr.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Burns.
Aye.
The vote is 6 ayes, 1 abstention, and 0 nays. Thank you.
Thank you all. Let's move on to item number 8, the financing for Paragon Mill. Carol?
Thank you, Chairman. Eric Shorter will present the action.
Thanks, Carol. Eric again. Paragon Mill is located in Providence. The sponsor is the Alexander Company, which is a Wisconsin-based for-profit developer. This will be our first transaction with them. We've done our due diligence and satisfied with their performance and confident that they can execute. They have a large portfolio, national organization that's done a lot of mixed-use housing as well as historic redevelopments, concentrating in Maryland, Virginia, Missouri, and Wisconsin. Paragon Mill, this development will create a total of 101 new residential units, of which 44 units will be restricted to households 60% AMI or below. The remainder of the units will be rented at market rate. A complicated capital stack here. Proposed permanent sources of funding include syndication equity from the seller tax credits, state historic credits, as well as federal historic credits, and also has opportunity zone investment here. Permanent debt from city. They have a term sheet from Citibank, but also Rhode Island Housing would like to compete for this mortgage as well. And they're deferring a portion of their developer's fee. The total development cost is $29.3 million. The staff recommends a reservation up to $1.1 million of 2020 or 21 credits. Preliminary approval of a first mortgage in the amount up to $1.8 million.
Thank you. Again, the credit committee has reviewed this?
Yes, we did, Nick. And I think the biggest discussion item was the depth of the market and the ability to reach the proposed rent levels here. Staff has stated that intend to obtain a new market study, which we felt was a great idea. And beyond that, we just recognized the many years of community efforts that have gone into this project, hopefully culminating in its successful completion within the next 2 years by the Alexander Group. Committee does recommend approval of the reservation of low-income housing tax credits and preliminary approval of financing.
Accept that as a motion. Is there a second?
Second, Maria Berry.
Thank you, Maria. Any further discussion or any questions?
It's Commissioner Smiley. I'd just like to say I haven't been around this as long as some people on the call or on the board or some of the community people who I know are on the phone, but I've been seeing plans for this building for 10 years at least, and it's nice to finally have a plan in favor of it, and it's exciting that hopefully this can finally get done. So I want to thank the staff and the committee for their work in vetting this proposal.
Thank you for those comments. Any other comments? Hearing none, let me ask for a roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the reservation of low-income housing tax credits and preliminary approval of financing for Paragon Mill, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rezina.
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner.
Aye, and I will be off the call after this vote.
Thank you. Commissioner Orr.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's turn our attention to the next item having to do with the Oxford Land Family Housing. Carol?
Thank you, Chairman. Eric Shorter will also present this action.
Great. Eric Shorter, Oxford Land Family Housing. The sponsor is POA, Preservation of Affordable Housing. They are a nonprofit. All the other transactions that we've presented today were for for-profit developers, so that's important to note that this is a nonprofit. Development will be located on a vacant site adjacent to the existing property, which Oxford Place and Gardens in Providence, both refinanced and rehabilitated 2018. Development will consist of 30 units in a three-story garden-style new constructed building. The proposed building will provide a mix of one-bedrooms, 21 two-bedrooms, and 8 three-bedroom units. Development includes passive house design. The total development cost is $9.1 million. Staff recommends reservation up to $800,000 in 2020 credits and preliminary approval of a first mortgage, an amount up to $1.2
million. Thank you. And again, the credit committee has reviewed this?
Yes, we did, Chairman. And I'd like to comment on the dedication and perseverance of the sponsor, POA. I believe that this was at least the second application they submitted, and really seemed to listen to staff feedback from the original proposal, which was denied. This design seems to be more contextual with the neighborhood. Construction costs are also lower. I think a strong proposal and merits approval. The committee does recommend a reservation of low-income housing tax credits and preliminary approval of financing.
Is there a second?
Second, Maria Berry.
Any questions, any discussion? The board may remember this was the last in-person meeting of the board. Was that a neighboring development there. Any further questions? Hearing none, a roll call vote will be in order.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the reservation of low-income housing tax credits and preliminary approval of financing for Oxford Land Family Housing. Please respond by saying aye or oppose by saying nay. Chairman Resines.
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Orr.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
Thank you. And our last of those developments is the transfer of physical assets for the Redfern Grove Apartments. Carol?
Thank you, Chairman. Eric Shorter will present this TPA action.
Hi, Eric Shorter again. Unlike the previous five transactions, this does not consist of any financing. This is just an administrative procedure. Under Rhode Island Housing Regulations governing proposed prepayments or transfer, project owners must obtain Rhode Island Housing's approval and comply with Rhode Island Housing administrative procedures for the transfer of physical access assets before conveying, assigning, or transferring any ownership interest in developments. Redfern Apartments is a 72-unit affordable elderly development in East Providence. This is purely administrative and will have no impact on the operations of the development. It's just a transfer of 26% of the limited partnership. The staff of asset management and development jointly reviewed the request and determined that the proposed transaction complies with the TPA requirements. Staff recommends the transfer of limited partnership interest.
Can this be reviewed by the credit committee?
Yes, we did. It's as Eric stated, it's a procedural item, and the sponsor appears to meet all of the requirements, and we do recommend approval.
Is there a second?
Second, Maria Berry.
Thank you, Maria. Any discussion or any questions? Hearing none, we'll have a roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the transfer of physical assets for Redfern Apartments, please respond by saying aye or oppose by saying nay. Chairman Resines.
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Orr.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
Thank you. Let's turn our attention to item number 11, the engagement of financial education services provider. Carol?
Thank you, Chairman. This is Carol Ventura. Christine Hunsinger, Assistant Deputy Director for External Affairs, Policy and Research, and Leslie McKnight, Assistant Deputy Director for Loan Servicing, will present this action.
This is Christine Hunsinger. This request for action is for approval to engage EverFi, a provider of financial services solutions, to assist Rhode Island Housing in providing web-based financial education to its borrowers. In February of 2020, we issued an RFP seeking qualified vendors. We posted it on the Rhode Island Housing website as well as the state purchasing website. In addition, Rhode Island Housing directly solicited proposals from three financial education providers that had expressed interest during our exploration phase. We received one responsive proposal, which was from EverFi, an education technology company based in Washington, D.C. The committee reviewed the proposal, and we are recommending the engagement of EverFi. The engagement of EverFi is a step that we are taking to proactively address early payment defaults and foreclosures by providing and expanding financial literacy education to our borrowers. We currently require first-time homebuyers to take a homebuyer education class prior to closing, but we don't offer any ongoing education for those who would benefit from additional assistance after purchase. Leslie, did you have any comments you wanted to add?
No, I don't have anything additional.
Staff recommends this.
Thank you. I believe this is reviewed by the Management Committee. Brett?
Yeah, the Management Committee reviewed the proposal and appreciates the staff work and recommends passage. I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
This is Leanne. I second.
Any further discussion or any questions? Hearing none, we will have a roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the engagement of financial education services provider, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rizinas.
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you. Nicole, could you take a moment before we move on and talk about why we have the separate entities before we actually take over the substance?
Yes. So basically, we are recessing the Board of Commissioners meetings to convene the meeting of the Section 8 Committee. The Section 8 Committee is responsible for reviewing approving the Public Housing Authority 5-year and annual plans. I will turn it over to Carol Ventura to kind of explain a little bit more about these plans or to one of the staff, management staff.
Thank you, Nicole. This is Carol Ventura. I'd like James Comer, who has responsibility for the leased housing area, to present an overview of the actions that the commissioners are being tasked with today.
Excuse me, this is Nicole Clement, General Counsel. Before we do that, Carol, can we have a motion to recess the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners meeting and convene the section of committee?
Is there such a motion?
Commissioner Smiley, so moved.
Maria Berry.
Thank you. Any further discussion? If not, a roll call vote would be necessary.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of recessing the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners meeting and convening a meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Section 8 Committee, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rizinas.
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Orr.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Destiny Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. We are now in session for the Section 8 Committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Carol, do you want to introduce us?
Yes, I'm happy to do that. Chairman, Rhode Island Housing is the public housing authority for the balance of the state for communities where PHA doesn't exist. We handle most of the rural areas in the state. So periodically every 5 years and then annually based on the needs of the communities and the people we serve, we update our plans to reflect the current needs of our participants. So if I could ask James to provide some context for the 5-year and annual housing plan for the Public Housing Authority.
Sure. This is James Comer. The 5-year plan describes the mission of the agency and the agency's long-range goals and objectives for achieving this mission over a 5-year period, and then their approach to managing those programs and providing services for the upcoming year. The PHA plan also serves as the annual update of any changes to the agency. Any local, regional, or state agency that receives funds to operate federal public housing or Section 8 tenant-based assistance must submit a PHA plan to HUD. We are required to submit this and have it approved annually by the Boston HUD office. This year, the new activities under the plan are to continue pursuing PVV contracts to the maximum allowed, targeting high need and high opportunity areas. So to project-based assistance into developments within communities that really need affordable housing. We also provide an update on the past 5-year plan goals from 2015 to 2020. The first goal is to use the Housing Choice Voucher Program to help open doors initiative to end homelessness. To that end, we've had a homeless preference since 2015, and 100% of admissions to the HCV program from 2015 to 2018 were homeless families. Second goal would be to work with other PHAs in the state to create a streamlined process for applying for assistance. It's burdensome to applicants to have to apply to every single housing authority individually and potentially travel around the state to do so. So in 2016, we worked with other housing authorities to open the consolidated waiting list and have 18 public housing authorities throughout the state participating, which amounts to 70% of all the housing authorities statewide. And we have 34 project-based voucher wait lists set up in the system for individual developments. The third goal is to perform better owner outreach for the HCV program by beginning owner information presentations. In 2015, we developed the HSS team to increase opportunity. We've launched a robust landlord recruitment strategy and provided outreach to communities through local real estate agents. We have hosted smart landlord presentations and a successful landlord appreciation and resource fair. We prepared and issued newsletters to feature via social media landlord page and identified resources for landlord mitigation fund and lead remediation assistance, to all in the goal of encouraging landlords to participate in the HCV program. We've opened the consolidated waiting list in partnership with other PHAs, which was one of our goals as well. We've created a tenant education program, which is funded and provided by local CDCs. We're looking to revise and create our own Rhode Island housing-based program going forward. And the last goal is to better utilize state and federal funds to provide residents with more with a better support system that not only includes housing, but services as well. Our HSS team provides resources serving over 330 households, and we're working with the Medicaid office to request waivers to provide reimbursement for HSS. For the next 5 years, from 2020 to 25, we also have 7 goals. To continue our collaboration with PHAs, create efficiencies through shared administration functions such as inspections, and increase our ability to share jurisdictions to provide assistance. To maximize state, federal, and private funds to provide residents with a more holistic system of support to address the social determinants of health in housing. To regenerate the wait list using updated preferences and ensure maximum utilization of Rhode Island housing voucher funds. Continue to partner with affordable housing nonprofits to create tenant education and helping tenants succeed in housing. To promote the use of project-based vouchers to address homelessness, preserve affordable housing, protect at-risk families, and ensure full utilization of the Housing Choice Voucher funds. To obtain a HUD high performer status, which is based on a number of benchmarks that we're evaluated on annually. And to increase owner outreach and provide relevant landlord materials to continue to promote participation in the HCV program by individual landlords. That's it.
Thank you.
Chairman, if I could just mention that we do have a resident participant in Rhode Island Housing Section 8 voucher program. However, the resident member of the Section 8 committee was unable to participate today.
Okay, thank you. Do I recall the management committee reviewed this or not, Brett? I can't remember.
I don't believe we did, Chairman.
Chairman, this is Carol Ventura. The committee did not review this.
Okay. First, let's start. Is there a motion to approve?
Commissioner Orth, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Thank you. Are there any questions or further discussion? Hearing none, a roll call vote would be in order.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the PHA 5-year and annual plan, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Resines.
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Orr.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
Thank you. There being no further business before the committee, I would accept the motion to adjourn the Section 8 committee.
Commissioner Smiley, so moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second,
Steve McAllister.
A roll call vote, Nicole.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of adjourning the Rhode Island Housing Section 8 committee and reconvening the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners meeting, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Resines.
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Orr.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you. We are now back in session as the Board of Commissioners, and I would request a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Maria Berry.
For a second?
Second, Leanne Byrne.
Thank you. Before we actually call for a roll call vote, let me thank all the board members for taking time from your busy schedules this morning, but a special thank you to the committee chairs, the Credit Committee and the Management Committee for doing a lot of the heavy lifting on some of these proposals. With that, let's take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of adjourning this meeting, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rosinas?
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley?
Aye.
Commissioner Orr?
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister?
Aye.
Commissioner Berry?
Aye.
Commissioner Designee Byrne?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. Thank you.
We are now adjourned. Thank you all. Be careful and be safe. Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.